shitting God's heart, just in the fire and the glory. I think I'll take this off and just sit in there. Raptured in the fire and glory of Jesus in the heart of God, right? It's just been incredible. I love it. But what we were going to talk about this week is the commitment of our heart. Not the commitment of our works, not the commitment of what, you know, we think we need to do for God, but it's that we are inside of God already. Like, he got himself inside of us, and we're one with him and he's one with us. And it's about just the commitment of our heart. And once we, I'm really, I'm so sorry that it's incredible, the presence right now. It's just God. That's just how God feels. His glory is intoxicating, and I just, and it, God. It's just absolutely incredible. But it's the commitment of your heart. Like, make up your mind who you're going to serve. If you can't make up your mind who you're going to serve, then you're going to be, you know, open to all different things coming at you. You know, they think you belong to them when in fact you belong to God, and it's his heart that you commit to. When you make a commitment to somebody, then your heart's for that person. You don't go off, you know, loving on every other thing that comes your way. It's a committed heart to your husband, to your partner, and Jesus is the husband, he's the bridegroom, and you're the bride, as the bride of Christ. And so you're committed to him in your heart. So it's an intoxication of his love, because he ravishes you and he raptures you and he wraps you in his love inside of your body, and you're one with his spirit. And it's a commitment. He's after, it's only commitment that has us confused and has us going off doing other things or trying to work ourselves or trying to, you know, be focused on things that are outside of ourselves rather than just focused on our commitment in our heart to God. Because once our heart's committed and aligned and we've made that decision, then we know that that's the way we're walking. We're not constantly looking for what we need to be, or, you know, we're not constantly looking outside of ourselves. We've committed our hearts to him. So that decision's made, and now you're not double-minded and you're not unstable in all your ways. You're stable and you're secure and you're strong and you've got a sure foundation. Your heart is set on a pilgrimage. Your heart is set on him and him alone. And it's like an expansion of his heart opened up inside of you, right? But the thing is, it's like he's already come inside of us. And that commitment has been made. But then it's the only thing that changes is our yielding to him who's already in us. So it's him getting more of us, not him giving himself more to us. It's us giving ourselves more to him. The more that we understand that he's already come in, you know, it just takes us longer to catch up. And so the more that we catch up, the quicker that we catch up is the measure that his substance increases, or the understanding of who he is increases, and we get to know more about him because we become more aware of that oneness and that unity that's already taken place inside of our bodies. Doesn't come in parts, and he's not a little bit here or a little bit there. It's like he's a person. The Holy Spirit is an actual person who comes inside of your body. So we have him in full inside of our bodies. We're not trying to get more of God into us. He already got himself into us. And I was speaking about this last week with it's that fellowship of the Holy Spirit with the Father and the Son and the three in one, the triune God. It's that, you know, the fellowship, the But what it does is our yielding to Him already inside of us breaks off that mindset that we're somehow separated from the world that we're in as well, because that type of dualistic thinking, or that, you know, that mentality that all of a sudden now that we've got to be spiritual, or we have to be religious, or we need to, you know, it's like, again, that it puts another distraction or another barrier somehow in front of us, where we're like, now we need to overcome this again and overcome that. When we don't, it's more of just yielding to who's already inside of us, and it's enjoying our humanity as a spiritual person. I mean, the world is completely spiritual. The world was, the spirit breathed on the earth and birthed the earth. We are inside of the spirit. The spirit, without the spirit, who is breath, if there's no breath, we don't breathe, there's no life, right? So the spirit is life. So we are spiritual and the world is spiritual. It's not like we can't do this or we can't do that. It's not about, you know, and I think we can get religious about it because you can't touch this, you can't do that, because we're so, we want to be good Christians, or we want to be we want to be spiritual. I mean, there's no difference. People are like, you know, some people are looking for the spirit realm, some people are looking, you know, for, you know, deeper walk in Christianity, whatever it may be. The answer is that we've already been purchased, the entire earth, our temples, our bodies. It's about the heart commitment and that yielding to his heart, that commitment to his heart, that we belong to him, and then we know that, and now we experience our humanity with God, who created us and the world and has never left it. He's been in the world. His word is what breathed and birthed the world by his word, and now his word is what upholds the world. It sustains the world, right? It by his powerful word, it's what holds the world together, the word. So he never left it. His word has always remained inside of the earth, inside of his creation, and we are his creation. And now we partake with him in creation. Like, he is the all creator, the almighty, the omnipotent God. Hey, holy, the omnipotent God, the omniscient, omnipresent, everywhere, in all things, through all things, right? And he promised beforehand to his holy prophets in the scriptures, right, that he would come and he would bring and he would restore. He would give the earth back to us, and it's inside of us. He is inside of us. Now we aren't separated at all from anything. We are all one as one, because we've been united by the Spirit. So we can enjoy creation because of the Creator who lives inside of us, who made it, and he said it is good, right? Everything he made is good. So we can create, we can enjoy the creation that he made, but he is the Almighty, the All-Powerful, the Uncreated One, outside in eternity, outside of creation. But he got himself into humanity through the Word, through Jesus, and through the Spirit. Where now he is inside of us, and we experience creation with the Creator, the one who created us. And the struggle that we can have as a human, in our humanity, when the Spirit comes inside of our lives, that struggle that can come on our lives is because we don't want to give over areas of our life. We still want to try and do this or try and do that. And it's working against the Spirit of God, who we've already given our bodies over to. We've given him possession of our bodies, and he wants to go this way, or he wants to do this. I mean, no fellowship with darkness. He has no fellowship with any, he's not dualistic. He doesn't see anything as like, oh, I'm going to be spiritual today. Well, today's my holy Sunday. I mean, do you think the Creator of all the world is like, well, maybe I've got to put today aside for my spiritual day? You know, no, it's so religious. He's not like that. He's in all things, through all things, and he's enjoying creation, the creation that he made, and you, your temple, your body. And those temples, he says, keep them from idols, right? Don't bring up, don't allow vain imaginations to grow up in your mind. Don't allow things to become, now I can't have this, or I can't do that, or I can't partake in this because this is making me less spiritual, because that's taking away from the fact that you're just a spiritual being with the Spirit of God who lives inside of you and now controls you. So it's enjoying all things. Enjoying all things. It's not like, you know, over here, we on, you know, on Sundays we have a little bit of extra God, and maybe on Wednesdays we have a little bit of God here, and on, you know, 9 to 5 we're human and we do our jobs 9 to 5, and that's our, you know, we put on our working hats. So we've got a different hat for each thing, and you know, on Sunday nights we do these things, so it may, you know, that's our extra spiritual night because we go to church 2 times, or we do our spiritual groups 2 times, whatever it might be. It's always it's like, you know, trying to be human and a part-time spirit being, where you're a full-time spiritual being inside of your own humanity, and now you just enjoy everything that's been created, and God partakes in all of that with you. And that's what raptures you into that fullness of the joy, of realizing that we don't have to do anything to try to get closer to God. He's already close to us. He's closer than the air you breathe, right? We're not trying to get more of him. We're not trying. We cease from trying. We cease from it because he did it. He got himself into us, and now it's accomplished. And he says, it is finished and it is good. Okay? And so we receive that and experience that and allow him just to control us. It's not waiting for something to be done. It's agreeing that it's already been done. And when we've got, you know, those fears and anxieties and those, you know, where we question, that double-mindedness, when that comes in, it means that we're not agreeing with his word. And those things can come in when we don't know his word, when we don't look at his word, when we don't understand his word, when we don't know who he is. Okay, so he says, I am the Lord, I change not. Holy, I don't change. He never changes. He hasn't changed this year. He hasn't changed last year. We change because we're growing into him. How? Because we're yielding more and more. We're dying daily. Our flesh is dying. Our desires, our will, our emotions, our wants, all of that stuff dies. And then we grow up into we yield more to his spirit. His spirit gets more of our body. And then so we become more accustomed to who he is through experience. But with the word, when you know the word and what the word says about him, because the word, he says, my word never changes. He never changes. I'm the Lord, I change not. So his word has never changed. So you can go to that and you can be sure that you will find in there who he is. And if you have that information, when a lie comes at you to try to tell you that now this is who he is, you know that that's not true, and because this is what it says about him. And he doesn't change. You can go back and look at the scholars from centuries and centuries ago and look at the writings of history, and you can see that they are saying the same thing. That's what academia is. Scholarship means that they've studied this information and they enhance it and they go off it, but it doesn't change. There's foundational truths. There's, you know, you've got the creeds that the Christianity has been set on, and we believe in that, and that's the statement of our faith, right? You have these foundations and those things do not change. And it says he is one, it's a triune God, three divine, there's a divine nature partaking in the three gods, which comes into the whole Godhead, and he is already inside of us. So there's no more trying, there's no more little religious activities to try to be, you know, to try to seek him. It's just knowing he's already in you, and then yielding your life over to Him, that commitment of the heart. It's about the commitment of the heart, because if your heart's not committed to His heart, then how are you ever going to know who He is truly to you? You will always be trying to make Him be something else that suits you rather than Him be who He is and then you be created into His image. But we're more concerned about trying to make Him fit into our image. You know, people are saying, oh, I can't do this and I can't do that, or I need to go and do this or I need to go and do that. But He's saying, oh, well, I never asked you to do any of that. And no, that's not any of the rules that I put in place. If you read the word, if you knew who I was, because you actually studied who I was. And I'm telling you, if you go back and look at, you know, look at the people, look at even just the Christian mystics and just how they have experienced the fullness of His love inside of their bodies. And then you can look at some great scholars that will all say the same thing about who He is. So you don't get lost, you don't get confused, you're not sidetracked, and you're not taken off with any sort of, you know, lies that come at you to try and say, hey, you need to do this, hey, you should be doing that, hey, you know, these lies that are flying around the head, fly around the mind to try to confuse you and trick you into believing in something other than what's already been put inside of you. It's a distraction to try to block off what's already in you. Why? Because it can stop you from yielding more. And the less that you yield, the more that you can try to fill up from the external rather than letting that internal come up and fill you up and fill out and push out all that external rubbish that you picked up along the way. So His word is true. He doesn't change because He is the Lord. So He is the same. Yesterday, today, forever, it says, right? I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the Lord. I change not. You can tell who He is because He's already told us who He is. And it's not, and when you know that, no idols can come in the temple. You won't let idols come in the temple because you're agreeing with who He is. And when you agree with who He is, that means that you're agreeing with who your image. Because that's who I am. I'm made in the image of God, right? So if you agree with who He is, your identity is established. Because you agree with who He is. You know who He is, therefore you know who you are, right? But if you don't know who He is because you don't have that information and you're still seeking that information out, then you're not ever going to find out who you are. You're constantly going to be trying to find out who you are. What do I like? What am I interested in? What am I doing here? What am I meant to do? You know, what's real? What's not? Oh, we should do this. Should we remove this so I can feel a little bit more spiritual? Should I add this so I can feel a little bit more spiritual? And it's all like being thrown around with the wind. It's nothing. It means nothing. The only thing that matters is who He is. And you're created in His image, so therefore that is who you are, because that spirit lives inside of you. Okay, so it's all about yielding a committed heart to Him, not having little bits and pieces of Him here and there. It's a fullness. We live in the fullness of who He is. We live in the fullness of the glory. It's in us, and it's in everything, in all things and through all things, okay? Okay, so Shaka, Dara Sarandra Kraviandra, remove all duality. Yeah. So it's spiritual humanity. The spiritual humanity that we are. Humanity is spiritual because the spirit came into our bodies. Therefore, we become spirit beings. So, therefore, we are a spiritual body. Okay, we're the body filled with His spirit. There's nothing missing. He doesn't forget things. He's not forgetful. He's not imperfect. He didn't leave a few things out that He's going to give you later on. It's just an unveiling of a yielding of ourselves. A yielding of ourselves to Him, letting him control us, letting him do whatever he wants with our bodies. And that releases our mind from trying to think about what we should be doing or think about who he, you know, we're trying to work God out. And you can't work him out because he's uncreated. We're created, we're limited, and we get to partake in his creation, okay? He doesn't need us, but he lets us partake in his creation. So we get to play a role in this creation. And we don't want to get prideful about it, like, well, what's my role and what's this and why is that one playing this role and why is this one doing this and what's going on over there, and like thinking that, and that's that prideful nature can come through because you think you know better when he's the uncreated one and he's the one that distributes, he's the one, the giver of gifts, he's the one that has, he's the one who sees the beginning from the end. We're the ones that see in part, right? It says in scripture, we see in part. We can't see the end. But you know what? There's no, time is already inside of him. He's not outside of time. Time is in him. So that's why his timing's perfect. He knows all things and he knows all time. He sees time. He sees creation from the beginning and from the end. It's already happened. There's no time restrictions with God. We're run by time, not him. So he already knows what's going to happen. So there's no fear of tomorrow. There's no fear of where's this going to come from or how am I going to deal with this. It's already happened and he sees it all. He knows your needs. He knows what you need. He knows what you need to go through. He knows what you need so you can be so your character can be developed, so you can partake in the role that you're created for in this creation. The only time that things start to fall apart is when we want to take back the reins, when we want to be in control, when we want to know the outcome before we're meant to know it. If we know some things that before we're meant to know them, we will ruin what we're meant to be doing, or we will miss parts of the character that needs to be built up in us for us to be able to actually carry that out. You know, I was talking to my daughter last night, this morning, and she was talking to me about her... talking to me about her dreams. Periscope just cut out, sorry Periscope. And you know, like just how she has I don't even know what I was gonna say, I just got sidetracked, but it doesn't matter. Shaka. Holy Spirit, wow, I love you, God, so much. Totally lost it, sorry, guys. Wow. And that's why everywhere you go, as a, you know, the spirit of prophecy is the spirit of God. And it's in all things, through all things, so everything's always talking to you. Everything has a message and everything has a, you know, there's a significance in creation because everything's made to detail. That's how he works. And that's right. We can't see everything that's going to happen, but he can. And he's outside of time. Well, time is in him. He is time. God is time. And there will come a time when creation is finished, but we don't know that time. He knows it. But there's no fear, there's no anxiety, there's no worries about the things that are to come. He takes care of it. There's no concerns about, you know, maybe this needs to be done or that. We just trust him, our eyes are on him, and we just be raptured up in his love. It's a continuous love fest in his glory. And understanding that we are humanity and he has allowed us to be partakers of this creation. We play a role in creation. He's given us a part to play, and we didn't have to have that. And he doesn't need us. We need him. You know? We need him. We need to be dependent on him. He's the one that we need. It's not the other way around. And when we've got it the other way around, we really twist what God's about and who he is. You know, we don't need to be defending him. He doesn't need us to try to make him cooler. He doesn't need us to try to make him more attractive. He's the same, and he hasn't changed, and he never will change. He's the same. We're the ones who change, and he changes us if we allow him to do it. And we have reverence for that holy majesty, the uncreated glory outside of time, outside of our scope of things, who is absolutely all powerful. He's omnipotent, the all-powerful God, which means he has the power over the entire creation, not just little bits of it. He has power over the Middle East. He has power over Liverpool. He has power over every single city, every single person. We are just partakers in his creation, and we are filled with him. And now we get to come into creation and play out our roles if we want our destiny fulfilled. And then our reward is knowing him. He says, what's eternal life? He says, to know the Father, to know me. Eternal life is knowing me, because once you know me, you know eternally that is who you are with. You are one with him. There is no fear of, am I going to heaven? Am I going to hell? You're one with him. You know him. So it's all about your committed heart, commitment to his heart. And he says, seek me and you will find me. And it's for the glory of God to conceal a matter, right? It's his glory, and he conceals it. But it's the glory of kings to seek out or to search out a matter, and that's you. You search out the things of God. Do you want that heart commitment to be raptured in love, in ecstasy, in joy? Do you want to know your part that you're meant to be playing in this creation that he's created? Do you know the part you're here to play? Because if you don't know the part you're here to play, then you're not doing what you're meant to be doing. And then you will find that things aren't going well in your life. And that's because you're fighting against what you're meant to be doing. You're trying over here to find out what it is you're meant to be doing, rather than humble yourself and go to the Creator, the Majesty on High, God Almighty, who's the power of heaven and power of earth, who has power over every single person, every single thing in creation. You go to him with your heart, and you give him your heart in a marriage covenant, and your blood covenanted to that God, and only that God. No other gods before me, says the Lord. No other gods come before me. No other idols in the temple. You don't have your own ideas. You don't have your own God. You don't have your own destiny. You don't have anything. You're created. You're a little creation, a little this on the earth. You're nothing. We go out there, look at us floating around in the galaxy, this ball of earth floating around in the galaxy. Get a picture for it and get a vision for it, and actually get realistic about who you are. You're not actually everything you think you are. You're a little one filled with the Creator. He's the one with all the power, not you. You get to play a part. You get to know him and have a relationship with him. You get to feel his love. You get to know him. And when I mean you get to know him, you get to know the attributes of who God is, right? You get to know him in his fullness. You get to understand the deity of God, the real one living God. Forget everything else and every other religion. It's all rubbish. You get to know the real living God, okay? And you're never taken out again. You're never sidetracked again. You're never deceived again. You don't fill up your body with idols. You're not addicted. You're not looking for this and you're looking for that. Or you know, every bit of healing comes from that power. He is the powerful one, the Almighty God, up out, uncreated. Time is his. He knows all things. If you need a thing, you get it from him. If you need your destiny unopened inside of your heart so you can play your part on this earth, you get it from him. You don't get it from anybody else, because if you go anywhere else looking for what it is you're meant to be doing, you're going to end up unhappy, You're going to end up unfulfilled. You're going to miss the perfect will for your life. You're going to miss the very thing that you were created to do, because you're too prideful to go to an almighty creator, because that offended your little humanity. It offended you because all of a sudden you're not God and you need a God, a creator. You know, that offends some people. It's ridiculous that people go to their graves never knowing who they were, never knowing the creator of the entire earth when they had the opportunity to actually know him. He gives us an opportunity to know him in part. We could never know him, right? Moses on the mountain, he says, go now before they try to break through to see me, otherwise they're going to die. We can only know him in part, because if we knew him in full, we wouldn't make it. Because he is a holy, majestic God, but he gives us himself. We can know about him. And he puts himself, he took on human form so we have something to see. So we have him here in humanity. He got himself into humanity. You know, how humble is that? The creator came and became one of us. That's humble. And you can't humble yourself to go to the Almighty to find out exactly your destiny, to find out exactly what it is, your role is on the earth, what you're meant to be doing. Instead of thinking you know everything, instead of thinking that you've read a few things and you've got an idea or an understanding of what you're meant to be doing, or should be doing this because this is what I've been doing for so long. You know, humble yourself. There is no time like the present to humble yourself and go to the Creator and pour your life out to him. Pour it out. Lay on the ground and pour it out. And let it come out of you. Everything that you've ever done, all of the life you have lived out of your own will, out of your own thinking, out of believing things that you didn't even know were real. Go to the Almighty himself and humble yourself and allow his presence to come upon your life and take you from glory to glory. Let him dissect your heart, let him bring out everything inside of your soul that's incorrect so it can be corrected, so there can be no error inside of your mind, that you can stop trying to please him, that you can stop trying to become more spiritual by adding to yourself or deducting some things from yourself. You can't do it. That is all trying. It's trying. It doesn't matter what you're... What you eat doesn't make you less or more spiritual. He's the spirit. He makes you. That's idolatry. And it separates you. And what that does is it lets all those other evil spirits come and play with you and torment and confuse you and keep you further away. Because you just, what you did is you said, oh, you reject the word, or you reject the divinity of God, and you accept some other form. Instead of receiving the full divinity of God, and he is the spirit. He is what makes you spiritual. Nothing else makes you spiritual, just the one divinity of God. Not every other spirit, one God in three people. It's the triune God, it's the truth, it's the gospel that he died and purchased your body so he could get inside of you and you could know him. Because what is eternal life? That you know God. That you know God. So he died to get himself inside of your body. Now you can know God, and now you will have eternal life. Humble yourself and get that wisdom, no matter what it costs you, and get that understanding, no matter what it costs you, and you will do well, and you will have a much better life. You will have more understanding than you would ever know, and you'll stop trying to work your way in or to work it all out. Humble yourself that you are only a small part of creation, and you are created, and he's the uncreated one. You're created, and he made you, and you belong to him, and you depend on him for your very breath. You depend on him for your very heartbeat. Get humble and realize that that's the reality of this life. And when you do that, you will start to realize, you will become very, very aware of just who you are in this picture, or in this hologram, or in this ball floating in the galaxy. Get humble and really receive that message. I hope you receive that message today. Thank you, Father, for it. I love you guys. Thanks for listening. Donate to Royal Street Ministries. We could use your support. And I did a message on tithing the other day, and it's the truth as well. When you bring, it says Malachi 3:10, says, bring your whole tithe into the storehouse and watch if I don't open up the heavens over your life. And it is true. It trades on a spiritual floor for you to receive a spiritual inheritance. It opens up a spiritual door. He pours out. His word's true, right? And we've just gone through that. When you don't agree with the word, when you go, no, thank you, I'm not agreeing with the divinity of the word, I'm not agreeing with the divinity of God, I'm going to do it this way. Well, just take a look. Have you received any of the things you're meant to receive? No, because you haven't believed, and you believe little bits of it, but other bits you don't. The word is true. The word is true, and it's faithful, and it works. So you test me in these things, the Lord says, and watch if I don't open up the heavens and the floodgates of heaven and I pour them over your life. So donate, go to my website and donate, and I'll see you guys next week. Be blessed.